Welcome to Intimate Verses Church. We are full of grace, chosen from a race, mandated to wear a smiling face. For in our midst the Holy Ghost stays. We are blessed and not cursed, lifted and not jilted. We are vessels of gold, intimately filled with the Holy Ghost. We are filled by God's anointing, charged to possess the land, ordained for the job. For such is the experience at Intimate Verses Church. John Reverend David Akanwa as he brings to you God's Word.
It was in James chapter 5:16. The Bible told us very importantly that Elijah was a man of like passion. He was subject to the weaknesses that we have today. But it started first by urging us to confess our faults to one another that we may be healed, and that the fervent and effectual prayer of the righteous man makes much power available. And Amplified Version said dynamic in his working. And I told us that the word dynamic is where the word dynamo or dynamite was gotten from. And how many of you know that dynamites come in small packages, and but they can blow down a heavy mountain? So I said we must understand the components of prayer this year, so that some of these prophecies that people say it's more like people are mocking the Pentecostal churches for this every year. People say different things and all that. It's very, very important we make proclamations of what God wants the year to be. But it's also important that we teach people how to achieve. Because every prophecy is a pathway. Like I said, prophecy is a pathway. You know, it shows you what will happen. Teachers must come in to teach you what you will do to make it happen. It's very, very important. So we must be consistent. He doesn't fight your prayer. He doesn't mind when you pray because you heard about an impending doom or tragedy, and you go and do 24 days fast, and you pray for 7 hours. He doesn't mind that. It's nothing to him. He will just wait for you not to pray for another 2 weeks. But I said 30 minutes daily prayer is more powerful than 7 hours occasional prayer. Everything that must be powerful in the kingdom of God must be born out of discipline. You must discipline yourself to be consistent in prayer. And I said that there are certain things we must realize about prayer. You know, the Bible said in Acts 3 that Peter and John went to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. So you must set out a time to pray. And a place to pray. You know, we read yesterday when God was speaking in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If the people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, and he said, and seek my face. To humble yourself means to fast. I'm just doing a little recap for the 3 days. We're not going to wait for people as they come back, they join us in the prayer. I said, he said, we'll have to humble ourselves. To humble yourself means to fast. Like I said, yes, the fasting is not power itself. Fasting does not convince God to do what he doesn't want to do. Fasting does is to reduce our flesh and subject our flesh so that our spirit might be more sensitive to what God is saying. This is very much important. And he said, humble themselves, you know, depart from their evil ways and seek my face. He said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. And he began to say that my heart, my eyes are in this house. So God's heart and eyes, his ears are attentive to our prayers. And we must learn to pray always. The emphasis is on continuity, not on length. Continuity, fervency means a sense of urgency, a high sense of urgency and expectation when we pray. You see, that is why most Christians move from crisis to crisis. It's not like they don't pray, but they pray because there is crisis. And you see, every year, beautiful declarations are made in the churches on 31st night, and people don't seem to see it. And you see, that is what is creating this most of these antichrist rants we see on newspapers and on social media. Because people are a bit deluded. They don't know if these things are true. And they forget that we are co-workers. We work with God. We have our part and God has his part. Nothing gets fulfilled in a vacuum.
So what do? We need to be consistent. There must be a place of prayer.
Some of us came from Orthodox churches. There are some Orthodox practices we must learn. Like some of us who came from Catholic Church, we have altars in our houses. And you see, it's a sacred place. We must have a place where we pray. We must have a favorite position we stay in that is convenient. We need to get down to these things. You know, the Bible said in Hebrews 6, let us leave the elementary doctrines. I was speaking with some pastors. They say, I said, no, even our churches have not even gotten the elementary doctrines of Christ, which is the preachings of repentance, baptism, repentance from dead works. You know, they've not gotten it yet. Eternal life and heaven and hell. We need to go back to the basics to begin to learn how to be superstar Christians by praying every day and studying every day. You see, the challenge we have, we want to go to higher revelations when the fundamentals are not there. So, and that's the reason why Christians are having breakdowns. I have studied it. I've been 25 years around doing this. And I can tell you, consistent prayer is a secret to a triumphant life. Prayer is, without doubt, the most powerful force on earth. But it has to be done consistently, timely. Don't wait for crisis. Don't wait for need to drive you into the closet. You must have a place in your house. And I said yesterday, day before yesterday, that you must choose early morning. You know, I have taught you people the law of proton. What you don't do first loses value. What you don't do first, whatever you do first becomes your God. If you wake up in the morning and you open your phone to check Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it becomes your God. Because God wants the first. You know, that's why God laid emphasis on Abel's offering. You know, people, you know, we were taught many years ago, I listened to Bishop T.D. Jakes, that's right on his own, and he was talking about, I think that was in 1994, that Abel's offering was, Cain's offering was rejected because Cain took offering from the cursed ground. And Abel's offering was accepted because the offering had blood. I said, well, hey, that is right, but there is another aspect to it. You know, because every man must sacrifice on what he's doing. The Bible said, and Cain became the tiller of ground, and Abel became the rearer of flocks. And you must bring offering from what you're doing. So I think it's more about the qualities of the offering. If you look at Abel's offering, the Bible said, and Abel brought the firstlings. The word firstlings, you know, we shouldn't omit some things in the scripture. Firstlings, not firstling. In other words, it took time to take the first. Any goat gives birth, sheep gives birth, cattle, he takes the first and takes them to the fattened house and he feeds them specially. The process, you must see the adjective that qualified the offering. He said the firstlings and the fatlings thereof. So he took time to collect first. That is why everything we don't do first loses value. Everything we don't do first loses power. That is why prayer must be done in the morning. The psalmist said, early will I seek you. In the quietness. That's why I like some of these classical songs. You know, it's a blessed quietness, holy quietness. What assurance in my soul. We need to learn to be quiet. Pentecostals are too loud. We need to learn to be quiet. We are just too loud. We need to pray. Learn to seek God in quietness. You know, there are funny things I see. People go to the mountain to pray and they go with their phones. And they're snapping from the mountain and sending. And saying, oh, I'm in the mountain. This is the first day God spoke to me. I'm in the mountain. You see, the Bible said, early in the morning, Jesus used to move out to the mountains. And he used to commune, have intimacy with the Father. And the Bible said, people, we hear him at times when he cried out for his soul. But in the place of communion, he groaned, just like in Gethsemane. The Bible said that he groaned until he had hemorrhagic. Blood began to come out. We need, like they said in science, they said that is when somebody is under heavy tension. Blood began to come out like sweat from his body. It took an angel to strengthen him. This is very, very important. We need to bring back the habit of early morning prayer. We have a generation of noise. You know, I was sharing something with you many years ago when we used to do early morning prayer. Until one day, the Lord began to ask me how productive that thing is. You know, in those days, there was not much Nepal light. In those days, we didn't have phones. We didn't have earpiece. And, you know, in those days, television stations used to end by 8 o'clock. How many of you? We have a generation that have 24 hours TV, but we met television stations closing by 9. So people, there was quietness everywhere. So you could come early in the morning. I used to do it a lot. And you shout. And you sing songs like Tetanora, Jesus, and people will listen to you. People get born again. But these days, it doesn't work. Because as soon as people wake up, they put on their earphone. So we are noisy inside. We are so noisy inside. And that is why we can't connect to God. The best time to pray is in the wee hours of the morning. I recommend 3 to 6. You can take 1 hour. If you can make it a habit. And I told us, Charles Wesley said that he prayed for 2 hours every day until he died. Just 2 hours, 4 to 6, he maintained it. Peter Wagner, the professor in Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, a professor of church growth, said he prays for 23 minutes every day for years. He doesn't joke with 23 minutes. We must understand that consistency is more important to God than this erratic prayer we make. When we hear that Satan has attacked somebody, everybody's running in, pray. No, I want to consistency. Keep saying it. At that time, God will wake you. Until your body will adjust to it. Satan fears that more than anything. That's why he's going to do everything. If you say now you're going to be working to pray 1 hour every day, you will see the fight. Oh no, if Christians know that Christianity is simple. Christianity is about discipline. The devil is in the routine. It's our routine that can give us breakthrough. No prophet anywhere. If they pray for you and the breakthrough comes, can you sustain the breakthrough? And what Christianity is all about is sustainability. He said it's Alpha and Omega. So he starts and he finishes. Are you listening to me? So it's not just something you go grab and come. This year, if you can make up your mind to have a prayer life, not prayer session, you can start with 30 minutes and one chapter of the scripture every year. Don't try to say, I'm going to do 7 hours. Don't try to say that. You can improve from there. Prayer is potent when it is consistent. Prayer is potent when it is persistent. Prayer is potent when it is fervent. If it is done in a hurry, if it is done coming from a place of need and pressure. No. Because the people God listens to are people who have relationship with Him. Let me tell you the truth. The power of prayer is on the foundation of relationship. He said that those that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Not words you speak. That is why the fellowship. You see, that's why God, Paul was writing, he said the intimacy, the fellowship of the Spirit, which is the last dispensations of the work of God, the fellowship of the Spirit. You must have a relationship. Everybody that is married knows that communication is the bedrock of marriage. Consistent time to spend with your wife, to talk with your wife, and your wife knows we speak every day, 6 to 7, about the needs of the home, can make the home strong. You can be with your wife in the house and there is no communication. You become intimate strangers. And that is why the emphasis is, we looked at it with Daniel. We must know, like I said, this 14 days fast, we are doing. I had to reduce it. The first time we were doing 40 days, I dropped it to 21. This year, God said, no, let them do 2 weeks. That His main intention first is not for us just to do 2 weeks fast. It's to trigger a hunger for prayer. And that is why, you see, I have been teaching on consistency. Daniel, a decree went forth. And it was said that nobody should pray. Daniel went back to his house. He had a time of prayer. He had a position of prayer. And he opened the window and he faced Jerusalem and began to pray. You see, he had a time of prayer. We are weak because we're erratic. We are weak because we're not disciplined. A Christian shouldn't be weak. A Christian shouldn't fall and rise. You know that. We are not born to fall and rise. The Bible says the power of the church is like a shining light. 2019 must be better than 2018. You have to check your routine. The devil is tricking us with routine.
We are chasing shadows when the thing is in our routine. The times we ought to stay and have communion with God, we make noise. Like I will always say, you know, these ladies who come around and they give you the names of seven guys for you to help them know who the will of God is. Oftentimes I ask them, have you ever found the will of God in anything in your life? When you were going to school, did you ever pray? When did you get born again? I said, I've been born again for 7 years. I said, fine. When you were going into the university, did you ask God, which school do you want me to enter? Did you ask God, have you ever sought the will of God for anything in your life? And they will say, no. Then how do you want an automatic will of God for marriage? You have lived your life not minding the will of God. And now you want the will of God for one thing, so that you can go ahead. You don't even know the will of God in marriage, not for marriage. You don't even know what God says about marriage. You just want the will of God. And some of them get depressed, some of them get angry and they go. But I don't care. Because even if you still give them that man, they can't sustain it. So this is very important. God wants us to build a consistent relationship. It is good we begin to understand the unlimited scope and power of prayer. When it is consistent, it is important. Prayer knows no boundary. It's not limited by time and space. Prayer has the capacity to go into your past and correct your past and enter your future and wait for you. Because prayer, like I said, we are in a year of expanding influence. I said there are 12 pillars of expanding influence, or what is called dominion. We are going to take 3 this first quarter. The first quarter, we are going to take prayer, and we are going to take wealth, and we are going to take family. If you don't understand the principles and the power of prayer, the principles of the power of wealth creation, and you don't understand the power of family, that your children, the Bible says that he brought them together, that they will have godly seed. A lot of people are suffering what they are suffering today because of the kind of family they came from. Your family forms you within the first 5 to 10 years, and it will take the rest of your life for the Holy Spirit to inform you and form you to what God wants you to be. But I said that prayer is the first pillar of influence. If you want your business influence to expand, if you want your academic influence to expand, if you want wealth, finance to expand, anybody that tells you that prayer does not do anything concerning finance, it's not true, because when you sow, you will come forth for the rain. Are you listening to me? Somebody has to command the heavens to open. And of course, we saw it yesterday, that God was speaking to them in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, from 12, 13, 14. He said, when I close the heavens, in other words, famine is spiritual. Are you hearing me? So you sow seed and you pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You sow seed and you pray. You call for prayer. Open heaven, you command. We also saw in Isaiah 45, he said, for the works of my hand, do what? Command me. You see, the elements hear our voice. Our voices carry power. Anybody that tells you, oh, you just sow a seed and walk away. That is why this seed is failing a lot of people. People are angry with pastors. People are angry with churches because they don't know nothing. They just pack money and dump, and they need. You need to command rain. You need to command dryness to go. Famine is spiritual. Everything God gives us is to improve our relationship with Him, including money. So if we're going to buy out blessing, it's not God. Because if you give, it has to send you to the closet. What is money? When you give, you know you are giving a million. You go into the closet. Everything we do in the kingdom is geared towards bringing us to intimacy with God. To knowing God. So I said something about prayer. The first pillar of dominion or influence. I said it has two dimensional impact. It has spiritual and physical. So prayer has spiritual, eternal relevance. And it has relevance within space and time. That's the only one among the 12 pillars of impact. The only one. Wisdom is for us to prosper here on earth. Of course, you know that Lazarus had no wisdom, but he went to heaven. Because wisdom is what brings wealth. Are you listening to me? He died poor, but he still went to heaven. Even if you don't have wisdom to create wealth, somebody can live poor on earth and go to heaven. Are you people listening to me? Family is just on earth. I said that wisdom is one of the pillars of England. Wealth is for earth. So I said prayer transcends space and time. That is why that is a sport Satan fights. I have seen people say it's not prayer, it's not fasting, it's not, have I prayed, see where I am. Watch them. Watch them. Every supernatural breakthrough or whatever breakthrough you get that is not gotten from the presence of God will soon fizzle out. Watch it. Watch it. David said he saw the wicked prospering, and he was wondering, why would the wicked prosper? The scripture said, he said, when I entered into the tabernacle, I got to know their end. It is there that secrets are revealed. Brother Hagen said something about a businessman that did business for 36 years and never missed one investment. That if you give him anything, he will take it into his house. And he will look at your proposal and put it on the table in his prayer room for 3 days fast, and he won't come out. 3 days. They asked him, how did you do it? Even during recession in America, the guy was still a multimillionaire. He said, you bring a proposal to him, he will just drop it on the table. He will just be praying in tongues and be walking around it. After walking around it, he will look at it again. He will be praying in tongues. He will pray. He will look at it. He said, he doesn't hear any sound from heaven, thunder. He said, as soon after 2 days, he will know whether he will do that thing or not. His heart will leave the place. We leave that proposal. He will send it back to you and say, no, this won't work. And he didn't miss any investment for 36 years. White people's businesses were collapsing. His own was flourishing. He said he never missed. You bring a proposal, he will tell you, give me 3 days. How can we miss it when God said, my children, my sheep hears my voice. And if God knows tomorrow, we talk to him, he talks to us. Prayer is communion. You develop relationship. People want quick things. They don't just want God. They want something that looks like God. They want it quick. And could you imagine? You have a wife. And every time you want to know what your wife is thinking, you go to the morning. Anytime your wife wants to know what you're thinking, she will go to your own mother. Both of you are in the same house. When I was courting with my wife many years ago, she wrote me a lot of letters. In those days, we didn't have phone. I still have those letters in my file. Now, could you imagine? I have been married to my wife, and if I want to know about my wife, I go back reading those letters. That's foolishness. Jesus said the scriptures spoke about him. My wife is there with me. I will read her love letters. I will hug the love letter. I want my wife is there. For me to know her, I need to talk to her. Do you know there's a way for years you stay with her? It becomes non-verbal communication. If she moves, you will know what she wants to do. That is how people move with power. They stay with God in prayer. A time comes, even before God does anything, they know somehow. Just like the sons of Issachar. That's why prayer is powerful. He just doesn't want you to pray every day. I told us that this year, this January fasting, is going to be so different from previous years. He doesn't want you to pray every day. That's it. Because prayer is a prelude to developing a relationship with God. So that you know when God moves. And if you can know exactly, because you have stayed with him, you can predict any business deal. You can predict anything that will happen. You will even know when somebody is about to die. And God will call you to begin to pray. Because he speaks to his friends. What develops friendship? Staying together, is that not? Like I'll always tell young people when we do our meetings for young people, all this very soon, I need to be loved conferences my wife holds. I'll always tell people, love is just concentrated focus. I mean, this
love that is born out of feeling. I said, that's what it is. How many of you were in love with one lady, somebody 10 years ago? They all will lift their hand. I said, do you know where the lady is then? They said, no. Because when you take your feeling and concentrate on another one, another person, I listen to you for a long time, you think you're in love. So that kind of love is concentrated feeling. That is when you stay with somebody for a long time, you think you can't stay with another person. That's how it is. If you stay with God for a long time, you will know God. You will know His voice. You will know. I go to some places, you say, how do you recognize false prophets? I say, be true. How do you recognize false prophecy? Be true. You don't. How do you? Because somebody says, how can you become true? I say, stay with the true God. If you see a man who doesn't carry him, you will know. It's simple. I mean, it's very simple. Even the way he walks to the altar, you will know. You will know. The Bible says if it is possible, the very elect to be deceived, but it is not. It's not possible. Because you can't stay with counterfeit if you're original. I say, so be true. Let your motives for service to God be true. Because they can't get you without your motive and desire. If your motive is material things, they will send you false prophets, false teachers, false pastors that will teach you material things. And they will swindle you. You will cry. But if you pursue the only true God, if they come, you will know. You know, there was a time counterfeit dollar, some syndicates printed some counterfeit dollar in America. And the thing was almost like the original. The thing was circulating fast. And the government was chasing the counterfeit. One man, old man, said, if you chase the counterfeit, you cannot get the counterfeit. He said, what you do, get conversant with the original. So what they did, every morning, all bank workers in America will come early and fill original dollar for 1 hour. They practiced it. They come early and they will give them dollar. I say, feel it. They will just be touching the original dollar for 1 hour. So if you bring fake dollar, if they touch it, they will not. That is how prayer works. You are touching God every day. That's why Satan doesn't want you to touch him every day. So the next time you come, you'll be a stranger. When something is not of him, you will know. I don't need to teach you 7 steps to know who your wife is. It's 1 step. I don't need that. Intimacy with your wife is experience. You can't teach some things. Stay with her. That was how they removed all the counterfeit dollar in circulation. You just bring it. The guy will touch it. Bam, say, no, this is not real. They check it. It's not. You bring it, they will identify it fast, removing it until they cleared it from the system because they were conversant. You see, prayer is so potent that it makes you conversant with God, the dealings of God. Just a few hours of prayer sets you far above your mates. A Tori said something about prayer. He said, prayer can do anything God can do. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. Through prayer, we are able to tap into the unlimited power of God and take hold of the impossible. The whole resources of heaven is available to us through prayer. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Very much. He knows he can't teach you if you pray every day. He knows. He knows. So his game is just to stop you. That's all. His game is, he wants you to pray Monday and not pray Tuesday, then pray Wednesday, not pray Thursday, not pray Friday, pray Saturday, not pray Sunday, don't pray Monday. You pray Tuesday. You just have this erratic thing with God. You don't even know. A time comes, confusion comes in. They are trying to sack somebody in the office. He gathers prayer words. Oh, let's pray. No. You know, if you take care of some things early, you will not be under pressure. It will avert crisis. He knows. That is why the greatest struggle you're going to have in prayer is consistency. My wife wakes me every 3. She's a bit more nocturnal than I am. She does her research and prayers. My wife does not sleep anything later than 3.
I'm even the one that forces her to pray, because she'll do all her school research, and as she's doing, she'll complete and she will pray. I'm the one that will tell her to come and sleep. So me, I'm not too nocturnal. I'm not like, when I get in, I'm tired. So she wakes me by 3, because that's my prayer hour. I know the struggle. Everybody struggles, though. Nobody gets used to it. I have stayed close to many great ministers in this nation. They will tell you this. But do discipline. You get up. Do it like somebody wants to win Olympics. When you want to win 400 meters race in Olympics, you know, you have to wake up every morning, whether you like it or not. You can be running, sleeping, because your body needs to adjust. It doesn't matter how you feel. Stop allowing your feeling motivate your prayer. If God does not move you, move him with discipline. You don't feel like, when you're waiting for when you will feel like, you can never feel like doing the right thing. We were not born to feel like doing. There is Romans 6 says there is motions of sin in the flesh. You know, in our flesh, your flesh can encourage you to do anything good. If you want to operate in the realm of power, control food and control sleep. And these are the two things difficult to control. So you must get up. I have not mastered the art of getting up by 3. But you see, the truth is, because there is always a battle. It's a warfare. The warfare is not in the prayer. The warfare is in being consistent. Yanking off tiredness, distraction. Switch off your phone, put it on flight mode. Focus. Every Satan will run from you. Every adversity will run from you. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I have come that they may have life. The will of God is to know us, and we know him. I want to close, and we'll go to prayer by saying this. Let me just make this point. There are over 37,000 promises in God's word. 37 of them, 1,000 of them. And 2 Peter defined the 37,000 promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Look at the adjective that qualify the promises. He said exceeding. So it's exceeding. The promises God gave to us, 37,000 of them in the scripture, exceeds everything. The Bible calls it exceeding. And the Bible says it's great. You know when something is great and it's exceedingly great? And the Bible calls them precious. They are rare. They lord to us. Unbelievers don't have it. 37,000 promises. They lord to us. One is enough to take you through a whole year. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, just one, shall abide under the shadow. You know what a shadow is? Under the influence of the Almighty, Yahweh. He said, then shall we say of the Lord, he's our refuge. Which devil go, come where God did? When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He said you dwell. So you are the one that will come in. In the place of prayer. In the place of worship. It's an intentional act. You move in there. Then he said you will abide under the shadow of Adonai. Me the devil that will come. He said that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature is not claiming it and having it. Is it, let's look at it. Having escaped, we are partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption, we have exceeding great and precious promises, and we are partakers of the divine nature, the very nature of God. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, and we are partakers of this. So therein lies the great, exceeding great, precious promises. 37,000 of them in the Bible. 37,000. We have 365 days. In where? In a year. Is that all? Okay. If we take one every day, we have 365 promises in a year. In 10 years, we have how many? 3,000 what? 650 promises in 10 years. In 37,000 promises, we'll have it in 100 years. So if you take one promise every day, if you live 100 years, you have tried. Is that not? That means we have promise. That's why he said, his faithfulness is new every morning. That's why Satan wants to prevent you. If you see how he, when Paul was advising us in Ephesians 6, one day I was looking at that Ephesians 6. I will read it. Go home and read it. He said, put on the whole armor that he may be able to withstand. Not the backing of the devil, the wiles. You see, all those, we were taught in those days in spiritual warfare that the armor we are putting is when Satan comes to shout at him, fire for fire. The Bible says we put on the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation to preach the gospel. We also have the sword of truth. We put on these things so that we can withstand. You know what wise is? Wise means crafty devices. So the most potent force of the enemy is not confrontation. He uses wiles. He comes against your consistent prayer life. You think it is that one you're shouting. Hey, Father, thunder, fire. And the, no. He just wants you to shout today and not shout tomorrow. Then you use something and distract you next tomorrow so that you'll be a stranger when you come. That was why Jesus protected his focus on prayer. He did it every day until he went back to God. He could come to the tomb of Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, Father, I know you always hear me. We discussed this one yesterday night. So this thing is not an accident. I am pleading with you from my heart. If you can make daily prayer a discipline, the things that will change in your life, by December 31st this year, you will come to me and say, everything that was said, I expanded on every side. Everything you said came to pass. It is his wives who wear the weapons of war. His wives. Not all those who were. And I was confronting demons. Satan came and told me I will kill him. No, Satan knows if he comes like that, we will kill him. He knows how to distract us. He knows how to distract us. He knows how to use phone, how to use activities, how to use the wrong routine. The devil is in the routine. Wow, that's what. That's a Charles Wesley's wife. Was it John? Either John or Charles. John married the wrong one. Charles married a good woman. Charles had 16 children. Charles Wesley's wife said that she prays with 16 children for 6 hours every day. 16 children. How was she able to carve out communion with 16 children? She said, why washing the plate? She is praying while washing the plate. Why washing the clothes? That was why she so much encouraged the husband. The husband moved around the equator 3 times on moves back. He was a revivalist. He was praying 2 hours without, she helped the husband pray. And she was prayerful with 16 children. 16. 6 hours. She has learned how to pray through her routine. see you walk in power. I see you walk in wisdom. This is your year. Rise on your feet. We are going to pray. Please, somebody come to the keyboard.